There's the YouTube going. There is the podcast audio going. Mm-hmm. And bring my gain down.
Yes.
All right. Live engineering on the spit knot. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's go ahead and get that on the Twitter. This is, sometimes it's like, oh, we need to analyze this because this person has some influence. Analyze mm-hmm. this and break it down where they're wrong.
Right.
And sometimes it's hilarious.
Sometimes.
And, Tariq Nasheed is a fucking weirdo. But he's a weirdo because he's allowed to be. And I guess because his audience... conservatives are weirdos.
Yeah, they are.
That's it. It's the conservative mind is fucking weird.
It is. Well, it has to be because you believe a bunch of things that are not logical and not based in facts and reality.
Yeah.
Like, really?
Woo!
Facts have a liberal bias. Right. Shit. Like, what is wrong with Virginia?
What do you see?
So, you know how they're trying to get Northam to resign because he was wearing the KKK mask in his yearbook?
Yes.
The attorney general told him to resign. Now the attorney general has admitted he also wore blackface during his college years.
What? Fucking...
Is Virginia okay? No, it's Virginia. Of course it's not okay.
It's everybody. Just yeah, and then fucking Cenk Unger, so wrong as usual, fucking saying, we really need to have a conversation instead of just firing everybody because a bunch of white people don't know what's wrong. Yes, they do! That's why they do it! They know what's wrong!
Because that's the thing, they never go out like, just like, oh, I'm just running errands, so let me put on blackface to go grocery shopping. No, they fucking wear it to fucking parties.
Yeah.
They're trying to be edgy and shit, because they know it's fucking wrong.
It's eventful. Recreational. Alright, I can take that video down. So yeah, we're definitely, we'll be getting into a bit of that, a bit of this. Trigger and or warning. Folks know how it gets with this fucking program. It's a little grisly.
This show is fucked up.
That is a fact.
It is fucked up.
Verifiable. All right, but yeah, man, like just a little bit of the audio.
By a nigga who sounds like Mary Poppins. So don't sleep on them dudes over there just because they got them accents. Them dudes are 100% with the shits. Some of them brothers over there are about that life for real, with a spot of tea.
I play this shit in the morning while I'm getting ready for work, and I had to stop and make a post like Tariq Nasheed just tried to use a British accent, and I think the value of tea just plummeted. All right, but let's take a little looky quicks here fast and of what I had saved while I was going about my business.
Yes.
This coming out of the Intercept, real quick, real fast, real brief. Mm-hmm. Georgia Democrat Stacey Abrams approved GOP's gerrymandering effort. Lawmakers claim in court where you ought not perjure yourself.
Wait, she supported gerrymandering?
Hell yeah. Approved. See, wait.
Oh, man.
Abrams is, this is out of the article put up by an individual goes by the name of Lee Fang. And Lee Fang put down here, skipping to the second paragraph, Abrams is one of the Democratic candidates for governor in Georgia this year, vying for the nomination against another former Democratic legislator, Stacey Evans. Both candidates have claimed the mantle of championing voting rights, but accounts of Abrams' role in the 2015 redistricting could call her positioning into question. All right. So the redistricting proposal was rapidly passed 3 years ago, shifting the lines in 17 blue districts in the state legislature. Proponents of the unusual move to reshuffle state assembly districts in the middle of a decade, only 4 years after the redistricting that followed the decennial national census, claimed to be making minor tweaks to the map. No one in the Georgia House publicly objected at the time, and the bill passed unanimously. All right.
Unanimously, huh?
And then when a bill, House bill, that's HB 566, arrived in the Georgia Senate legislatures, and activists noticed that the maps appeared to be redrawn in a deliberate attempt to section off African-American voters in swing districts, entrenching several white Republicans in crucial seats. So that's fun, good times. I know a lot of folks thoroughly enjoy that. Taking a look over the archive chat space, Sam Sampson said that was quite something as someone with an actual Brit accent. Sam, yeah, wait, like actually from Britain, right? Why did I say it like that? Britain. I'm McMurrican. That's how I say it.
Britain, the UK.
Yeah, so this is that's your is Stacey Abrams is I'm losing track of the names.
Yeah,
is that the one where Bernie Sanders is silencing her?
Yes, Bernie Sanders is silencing her, but Kamala is not.
And Stacey Abrams is not silencing voters by approving of this redistricting.
Absolutely not.
Got it. All right, outstanding. Apparently, during the State of the Union, I missed that stand-up comedy special. I kind of had myself a little sit-down and an adult beverage, and I was just annoyed with all the stuff and the things.
Yes.
And missed it. But apparently, Ocasio-Cortez got called sullen while sitting there and wearing a pin of with a picture of a little girl that got murdered in McMurrican custody. Mm-hmm. And folks were getting at her, obviously conservative-minded folks, for not looking more upbeat and smilifying.
Well, the one that they keep pointing to is where it was Trump said something like, we're born free, we're going to stay free, America will never be a socialist nation. He said something like that, like, we're going to be free, America's never going to be socialist. And Nancy Pelosi's behind him clapping, all the Democrats are clapping. Bernie Sanders just has his hand under his chin looking annoyed as fuck. And Ocasio-Cortez is just sitting there with her hands in her lap looking unamused. And it was, like, very specific cuts, like, all the Democrats being like, yeah, fuck socialism. And then those two just being like, And that seems to be the picture that people keep using when critiquing her behavior.
Her behavior, and of course it was that motherfucker, she's a Noonan, her last name is Noonan, I think. Let me take a look here and make sure I have it, Rizite, represent, no thanks, all these, every time you click on one of these news sites,
you
want like,
to sign up for our newsletter?
I want to sign up for your fucking newsletter,
and then they try to make you feel bad about it, like, do you want cool stuff or do you want to stay uninformed and boring? Nigga, fuck you. I'm not uninformed or boring because I'm not subscribing to your bullshit.
You know how many fucking sites I look at a week? I'm a goddamn podcaster. I'm like, I create content. All right? I do what my corporation that I work for calls adding value.
Yes.
All right? I take your shit and I curate it into episodes of leftist niggalicious funk.
Niggalicious right. Funk.
Thank goodness Tally isn't tuned in yet.
Pure unadulterated funk.
Get in trouble. Niggalicious funk. Ah, oh, fuck. Theo tuned in right at that moment. All right. Now it really is time for niggalicious funk. And a Walgreens pharmacist denies a cis woman with a unviable pregnancy the medication needed to end it.
Nice, that's fun.
And Aerosmith, they were some music fellers, drums, guitars, the whole business. And one of the folks that was affiliated with the Aerosmith goes by the name of Steven Tyler,
lead singer.
All right, so a vocalizer. And this vocalizer with the Aerosmith opened up a home for abused women folk in Memphis.
Oh, God. I was waiting for you to finish sentence. I'm like, what the fuck did he do? Oh. what now? Just let another one I like fall.
Yes. I like the chat space. Like, Theo Loco comes in, says, what's good in the hood? Funk it up. Jan Loco pipes up and says, you missed the funk. Wine cellar brings people together. Mm-hmm. And we don't even drink wine on this program.
We don't. We could. But we shouldn't. There's a lot of equipment.
Yeah. You don't want to spill your manischewitz.
You don't want to spill them. As they started fucking selling shirts that say purple drink.
Manischewitz did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus. They know who's buying it.
Yes. Yes, they do. I think more black people buy manischewitz than Jewish people. But, yes.
Huh. Because it is kosher wine.
Yeah, it's kosher wine.
We actually are a bunch of Hebrew Israelites. Fucking it's Christ. Kosher wine. All right, lace me up.
My news?
Yes.
Let's see. After 4 years, a Miami family that made its fortune in real estate will now be able to drill into an exploratory oil well in the Everglades. Fuck the Everglades. We don't need them.
Now, and exactly where are these Everglades? I'm a bad environmental fire.
Tallahassee, Florida.
Shit, I'm really bad. I fucking lived in Florida for 12 years.
Yes.
Oh, that's where the marsh is, right?
Yeah,
oh, the marsh.
That's what the Everglades are. It's like that marshy, like, where all the alligators and the pythons live, and it's like, I don't know what it's like, old, like, cypress trees and water. It's like all just marshy shit, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the Everglades. So, yeah, there's going to be drilling there. Yeah.
Damn, I think they were fighting for that for a while. What's the
date? Like 5 years, yeah, but they just got, because they just won their court case, because they lost, and then they appealed, and then it got kicked around to another court, and anyways, it just now ended, and they just now got approval, which overturned the original decision that told them no.
So if you think about how long ago that is, I covered that in the wine cellar, and you said about 5 years ago,
yeah.
And you were on the program at that time.
Yeah.
That's how long we've been getting down.
Right. Which also means that's how much money they had to keep fighting for 5 fucking years of legal bullshit.
Just so they could try to find more money.
Right.
Spent a gang of money just on a gamble. Like, how expensive was this lottery ticket?
You have to spend money to make money, all right?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, Theo Loco said swamp.
Yes. Yes. Swampy stuff.
Swamp thing.
Swamp thing.
Come Indeed. On.
Pope Francis has admitted that clerics have sexually abused nuns, and in one case kept nuns as sex slaves.
He had to admit that.
He did.
We know, nigga.
He said the church is attempting to address the problem, but that attempting to address it was, quote, still going on. Whatever the fuck that means.
Still, so like, it's literally, like, as he's saying these words, it's going on?
I think so.
Don't they read from the Bible? You're be like Jesus, go whoop their ass.
No.
What the fuck? Run over them in your bulletproof car. Which is a Mercedes, isn't it?
I don't know what it is.
Man, the Pope Mobile's fancy. Jan Loco said, the Department of Interior, selling off our national parks for oil.
Yep.
Which I forgot the name of that cat. My brain wants to say Tom Wheeler was the cat that Trumplestiltskin put on it.
Was he?
Tom Wheeler. Well, you know
why
what?
Is Tom Wheeler in my head for totally different stuff?
Hold on. Okay, we're looking up Tom Wheeler. Oh, Federal Communications Commission. Jesus Christ. I'm thinking about net neutrality.
Because I was about to say, I thought that wasn't. Ajit Pai?
That's right. Replaced.
Oh, man. All right.
And Tom Wheeler was appointed by Barry Hussein.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
See, you fucking with my head, nigga. yeah, okay. So this story, a female congregation dissolved in 2005 under Pope Benedict was the Community of St. Jean based in France. In 2013, the Community of St. Jean admitted priests have, quote, behaved in ways that went against chastity.
Wait, the who behaved in ways that, who?
The priests behaved in ways that went against chastity.
That is, again, I know. I did this rant some episodes ago, but why did you make the word rape if you're never gonna use it?
In a separate case in India last year, a bishop was arrested over allegations he raped a nun 13 times between 2004 and 2016.
Jesus
Bishop Franco Mulacal of the state of Punjab has denied the accusations. In Chile, reports of abuse of nuns carried out by priests led to the Vatican Church launch an investigation last year. Last year, the Associated Press also reported cases of this abuse with this congregation in Italy and Africa.
And I know that's a serious story, but also I heard you when you said the word Chile. Like, that's now a hard word to say now.
Oh, Chile?
Yeah.
Oh, as opposed because to Chile.
That. Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I think Jan Local reminded me, it's Ryan Zinke.
Oh, okay.
And Sam Local pointed out the name Scott Pruitt. There's so many fucking names now. Who the fuck was Scott Pruitt? I gotta look these niggas up right
Wasn't
on
the
spot.
With the EPA? I think, like, Scott Pruitt was with the EPA.
It's like Trump just hired a bunch of niggas he met at a party. I swear to fuck.
Well, he doesn't know their names either, so don't feel bad.
Right, yeah. Like, who's actually picking these motherfuckers?
Also,
like,
you notice that every time he has a fucking speech, he'd be saying the wrong name. He'd be like, all right, well, thanks, Ted. Ted, you want to say something? My name is Charles. And I, what the...
Oh, shit.
Like, good shit, right? Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's the EPA chief.
Yeah.
Environmental Protection Agency. All right. And I listen to Democracy Now! Every fucking day.
I know.
But they're always covering, like, they cover protests and shit like that a lot.
Yeah.
All right. Got, like, one more, so.
Let's see, what else do I have in here? That girl who basically hounded her boyfriend to commit suicide lost her appeal, so she has to serve her sentence.
Was that in Australia?
No, that also happened in Australia, but this was in New England.
Okay.
Yeah, lost her appeal. And then I guess the last one would be, the LAPD says a man wearing department-issue-only LAPD gear yelling white power at a Black Lives protest is not actually affiliated with the LAPD.
Oh, no.
No.
What's his name, then?
Huh?
What's his name?
Hasn't been released.
Well, say his name. Shit.
And just for the sake of levity, that kid that Trump brought to the State of the Union, because his last name is Trump and he's being bullied, fell asleep during the State of the Union.
Holy fuck. This shit is an absolute goddamn cartoon. Like, I swear to fuck, like, with the Barry Hussein shit, I could be like, this is why I think that this was wrong in this piece of legislation. If you look at this detail when you actually read it, there's some trouble there. But the Trump thing, it's just like a fucking, it's like a bounce house full of meth. You know, like,
a bounce house full of meth.
Yeah, like, turned over sideways. Like, it's an absolute, it's fucking ridiculous, man. Yeah, it really is kind of like in the Who Framed Roger Rabbit movie when you drive into Toontown from fucking live action world.
Happening.
Holy shit. Like, I can't cover this.
I know.
I'm just going to talk about sex workers' rights and trans lives. Like, that's most of what I've been doing since this started.
Of which, we have to cover Andrew Evans.
Andrew Evans.
Who is a guy who was convicted of killing a sex worker, sentenced to life in prison, had his sentence reduced, is out, and is now a motivational speaker giving speeches to teachers.
Jesus fucking Christ. I'm, on some level, I want to blame that one on this fucking bounce house full of meth as well.
No.
He'd have done that shit anyway.
Well, he's from Canada, first of all.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And he already spent, like, a few years in prison. In, like, he killed her in, like, 2005 because he couldn't get an erection, so he beat her to death.
Fucking Christ.
Yeah, and then, like, he, spent some time in prison, and now he's out giving fucking motivational speeches to school teachers. It's fucking,
Couldn't get an erection, so beat her to death.
Yes.
Fucking guy. Like, see, that I do not recreationally associate with my fellow men.
Mm-hmm. And we're also gonna talk about Rob Campia, too.
Rob Campia.
Who's, like, a libertarian who was really big in the whole legalizing marijuana thing for a while.
Oh, shit. I was reading that. I think I read the whole article. It was kind of, it was a lengthy, heavily well-detailed article.
So he was a libertarian who was, that was his, like, policy thing, was trying to legalize or decriminalize weed and whatever. And he apparently has been accused of sexual harassment and whatnot. And now he is kind of holding donors hostage who are trying to work for sex workers' rights movements by saying basically if he's not allowed to work with the sex workers that he's not going to pass along his info, you know, his connections, contacts. So that's the thing that's happening.
Jesus
Christ. Everything sucks, really, when you think about it.
And take a look at the archive chat space, and then I'm going to get to this Tariq Nasheed shit. Because you know how it is, we're playing audio, it'll be a 5-hour episode. said they should have locked him underneath the prison. Oh.
Yeah.
Vote for Emperor William. I'll do it myself. You know what it is. And it involves cupcakes and corn muffins and whatnot, just in case anyone's...
Yes, it absolutely involves cupcakes. Okay.
And they go, oh shit, that's homie loco from the Twitter.
Who's that?
Britton Gads.
Hey!
Said, sex is bad, okay?
Sex is bad. Also, why the fuck did Kamala tweet out with the hand claps in between every word?
Oh, shit.
Politicians should not tell women what to do with their bodies.
Whoa, hot take, hot take. Skip it a beam, bomb, boom, hot take.
I'm just like, does this include people who are forced to do prison labor? Like those women too, or not all women? I don't know. I don't know.
Fucking pig.
Ugh, gross.
All right, let's see. So let's get down to the funky stuff.
Yes.
All right, Tariq Nasheed, I have my shit noted up. Okay, 22.5 minutes. Again, I was playing this shit this morning while getting ready to go down to the factory and be exploited for my labor. And I gotta tell you, folks, steel-toed Caterpillar brand shoes.
Yes.
If you're in the blue-collar sect and you're gonna be exploited, those are the shoes you want to have on. That is an outstanding pair of fucking unfairly compensate me for my labor shoes.
Can I read you one more Kamala tweet? I'm sorry.
Yes, ma'am.
Russia was able to influence our election because they figured out that racism, sexism, anti-Semitism, homophobia, and transphobia are America's Achilles heel. These issues aren't only civil rights, they're also a matter of national security, and we have to deal with that.
It's like she's reading a parody of a fucking, like a right-winger made a parody of a stereotypical Tumblr account, and she's just reading that.
What?
And, oh, Theo Local said, how do you stomach Nasheed? Let me see, I'm an ill cat. Like, yeah, I can, especially, I think a major factor for when I'm listening to shit that I, strongly disagree with is, like, if they're inadvertently funny. Because, like, that shit be funny. Like, when I used to have the time, remember, folks, I used to listen to all 4 hours of Alex Jones' show every fucking day. And then the 3-hour Sunday show. Mm-hmm. I used to listen to all, I think it was 2 hours, if I remember right, of Brian Fisher's show. Brian Fisher's is the one that talks about how Nazis were homosexuals and all that business. I used to listen to the whole episode of Michael Savage when I had the time. Remember that one? The Jewish young man. He's from New York, but he's out in California now. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like,
sounds like a New York Jew.
Oh yeah, he kept his New York accent heavily, which is one of the funniest things I saw someone say about, I think it was that nigga on Facebook, goes by Leslie Berry, mm-hmm. and they say he doesn't even have his Brooklyn accent anymore.
About who?
Bernie Sanders.
Who doesn't have a what?
Yeah.
Let me be clear.
Let me be very clear. I'm going to take a look at the comments section. Kamala is a hot mess, and Coonmala is a cop. I know, Coonmala is one of those ones where it's like, I'm not going to say it yet. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait for the right moment. I know it's been in all of our heads for some time, and it's like, when do I want to say it? Right after the State of the Union. Perfect moment. Shut up, Coonmala. Shut up. You're the fucking Meg of black politics. Shut up, Meg.
Shut up, Meg.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what Jan Local said, I can't listen long enough to get the traffic report, and said, you are brave. And, you know, and given that this shit be funny, remember, when I lived in Florida, I rode a bicycle to and from work. I ran high risk of falling on my ass laughing at some shit. Whew. Especially, like, Alex Jones 2016, he was wildin'.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, should we have to go back and listen to him, though? Because now that Roger Stone got arrested.
Hmm. No, you don't know. You don't know.
Okay.
You don't know. Fiends Cleater thinks that Alex Jones is predictable or something.
Hmm.
Said Williams got the thickest skin ever, heavily melanated, couple of keloid scars, and
no blue veins.
Oddly arranged nipple hair, not well organized. Not proud of it. All right, Tariq, check out this fat, and I'm gonna give it a few seconds ahead so he can lean into it. All right.
That's nothing. So it's tangible time. We've gotten, though, if that's the case, we got somebody who's basically an open white supremacist with Trump. So now, okay, we've seen the belly and the bottom of the barrel. Now it's tangible time. It can't get no worse than him. Now, let's get to the tangibles.
Okay.
Tangibles. See, that's the thing where people are missing out. Trump ain't done nothing to us that has not been done already.
That sounds like something we would say. Yeah. That's what's fun is he'll say some shit that I would say, but then
he keeps going. Keeps going and it takes a turn.
It's that joke that'll never get old. How do you win a debate with a libertarian? Let him keep talking.
There are less people killed under Trump in the black community than under Obama. Under Obama, do y'all understand? More black people were legally executed by race soldiers under Obama than any other time in the history of this country.
Bam! I don't know if you folks knew that.
That police have killed less of us in 2 years than they did in 8 years?
Whoa. Trump years are like dog years. Okay.
All right. So, yeah, but then also, like, so did they change the definition of race soldier, or is it still meant to be cops?
Man, when it first started, when particularly Gus T. Renegade, Gus the Renegade Negro, on a program called The Cows, an acronym for Context of White Supremacy, him and Tariq Nasheed mostly, they were using it for cops. And then they just let it branch out to just any white person. Like, they call fucking... Yeah, just it, like somebody who's a rude customer service person is a race soldier.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, they use it for fucking anybody.
Mm-hmm.
The nigga said, Theo Loco in the archive chat space said, Tariq is a liar, propagandist. I want to punch him in the mouth.
Same, to be honest.
You can get your chance because Tariq Nasheed said that he will fight anybody but Michael Jai White.
I would not want to fight Michael Jai White either.
Yeah, he said that's the only person he won't fight.
He said he's going to fight Terry Crews. I would love to see him fight Terry Crews.
Yeah, that would be pretty neat.
I would like it.
And especially, like, if, like, in between hits, Terry does, like, one of the dances. Yeah. Oh, man, but Terry is being whack, though, right now. With that Liam Neeson shit.
Oh, yeah, that's fucked up.
That's fucking weak,
because I remember, because, like, and the reason that Tariq got at Terry Crews is because he was wearing a pink suit and took a picture of himself jumping and said something like, the floor is toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
And so, like, he was mad, and I was like, I just want him to fight Tariq, and then every time Tariq is formed, like, stop touching toxic masculinity! Because I'm an asshole.
Oh, man. Right. Oh, and Britton said, let him fight Wesley Snipes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't even think Wesley doesn't even have that much weight on him. He's just a small, strong man.
But he also has, like, a very long martial arts career. Like, he's been... Yeah.
Yeah.
Fight Blade. Please fight Blade. I would love to see it.
And he should do it in the movie costume.
Ah! Go fight Nino Brown.
This Fallon Loco, Fallon Matthew, FallonKitty.com, said, I want to see Tariq fight Terrence Howard. Is that aggressively light-skinned man?
Yes.
What, is he a scrapper?
I don't know.
I don't know that about him.
He's one of them, like, goofy southern niggas, I know that.
I'd love to hear the, like, shit-talking, like, leading T.I. up to it.
Like, you know, that kind of, like, I know what type of nigga I'm talking about.
Be like, I know you didn't just call me a coon, man. Look, man, you don't just call a brother coon, man. Yo, I just might have to set my yak down and whoop your ass, man. Yeah, that could be a good time. I'll let this ride a little bit more, and then we got to get to how Tariq Nasheed rewrites the history of colorism. It's outstanding.
Outstanding. Let's go with that.
I'm talking about during Jim Crow. I'm talking about during the 1950s, 60s. Black folks.
Yeah. More people murdered under Obama than under Jim Crow, which started when? Without the name.
No, Jim Crow started in like fucking 1868, first of all. So more people, more black people between 1868 and like 1968, roughly, died than in... I'm sorry, less people died between 1868 and 1968 than died during 8 years of Obama.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why there's so few black people. I can't find them anywhere.
I cannot find them anywhere.
I'm just, where's the Negroes?
And I mean, and then also, too, if we're doing race soldier, it just basically means any white person. So that means not only cops, not only KKK members, not only other white supremacist members. That also means, like, negligent doctors. That means negligent social workers. That means everybody who's died as a result of, like, contaminated water and air and soil. Fucking everyone who's died in natural disasters from bullshit like FEMA responses.
Prison right? guards.
Right? Like, really? Less people between, like, the 1860s and 1960s than 8 years of Obama? I mean, I would just like to see some receipts. That's all I'm saying. I would like to see some receipts.
But he said it, family.
But he
you
said
dig?
It. But he said it.
Archive chat space. I hope I'm not missing too much here. FallonKitty.com said, more people than Jim Crow? I twitch. Which, that could be a double entendre. Double entendre. Theo Loco said, a lynching every 2 days in the South. Well. And every 2 days, that's less than, like, 220 a year.
Yeah.
If you did the math on that more accurately than I just did in my head.
I would say it was something like, I think the official tally was, like, something like 4,000 lynchings, but that was like specifically like, you know, get dragged out to the woods and strung up from a tree type of shit, not cops killing you, not prison guards killing you, not, you know, like not all the other things that are also killing you because you're black.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't see how that's even like possible, like honestly. I don't know, man.
Folks weren't killed like that. Even in the highlight of lynchings in the 1920s, black folks weren't lynched like that, like black folks were killed under the 8 years of Obama.
I'm telling you, folks, people think I'll be tripping when I say Tariq Nasheed is on some wild shit. He actually, that's why I like to play the audio, and I'm so glad we have high definition audio now in the wine cellar, so that people can hear that this shit is set on purpose to somebody that actually has a wee bit of sway and influence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're on the Twitter and you see people saying shit like, on code or Shea Butter Twitter and shit, or like if they call a guy like me Moist because I'm very feminine, they could call me Moist. That's part bed of Tariq wenching. Nasheed's bed Negro bed wench. That's that really is owned by him. There is no other black content creator that says that as much as him and owns it like him.
Mm-hmm.
Who is that? Theo Loco said throat punch. And Fallon Local set up the highlights weren't in the 1920s. No, it was the highlight. I mean, it was the Roaring Twenties. Like, black people were lions. That's why they called it the Roaring Twenties. Because the Negro lions were coming out, taking out white supremacist race soldiers with the spirit of Ogun, family. You dig?
Oh, God. Yeah, the 20s. Wasn't that when they started a prohibition? And black people had to come in through the back door to clubs where they performed?
No, they were prohibiting the white man from putting his foot on the black man's neck.
Yeah, okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because brothers and sisters were on code.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
It wasn't none of that moist shit.
Mm-hmm.
It was all fucking, like, very not moist.
It was dry, like a desert?
Somewhat. But we had Vaseline. We made it work, family. Let me see. Let's let this ride a little bit more.
You understand? So it's tangible time. We're not about to elevate everybody over us because right now is very critical.
Okay, so this is when he goes into his fucking black legislation for black people. Whoop, he ain't that damn. Because he means black legislation for...
Which is also just like vague as shit. He doesn't actually have ideas.
No.
Like, we need someone to put black policies first. Okay, what the fuck is a black policy?
And I mean, and considering that he is a damn good fundraiser.
Yeah.
And he's got some change in his pocket himself.
Yeah.
Why isn't he getting people to put money up to put candidates forward? Like, him, Jason Black, Umar Johnson could jump back in it. Like, all these, Boyce Watkins talks all that money shit. Mm-hmm. Put some money up for some candidates. Mm-hmm. Like, basically, take over a city council and make that city awesome for black people. Prove it.
Right.
Prove
it. But you would have to have policies and know how to implement them.
Nah, but I'm selling this Hidden Colors DVD, though.
Right, right.
Yeah, or Boyce Watkins is a guy has a book.
He has books. Yeah.
Or Dr. Cloud Anderson. It's fucking these niggas, man. All right, let's rock. We're getting into it. Tariq Nasheed, colorism, as you've never heard it before. I forgot to turn on our spotlight for this episode, and that's just how it's going to be.
Oh. The Negro family members, they were still on the island of Haiti, you know, trying to finesse their way up off the island. So, again, a lot of cats came from Haiti, that mulatto class, and went into New Orleans and in Louisiana. And understand, down there in Louisiana, you had that Creole class who... many of them were slave catchers. They would turn in runaway slaves down.
Is this anything that you've read about before?
I mean, there was that to a certain extent, but I don't. Many implies to me like 70% of them. It was not like 70% of them.
But it was like 68, though. 68.
It was not like 68. And I know something else a lot of Creoles used to do was actually buy slaves, and that was their family that was left behind. And then they could grant certain protections as slave owners to their darker skinned family members that they would not, you know, who had to identify as Negro, that would not have had the same rights.
But I'm
sure he's going to mention that like next, though.
So as black people that bought slaves, they were doing what white supremacists do. So they were actually coons.
They were actually coons for buying their darker family members. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
See, you dig?
Down there, those Creoles. Yeah, those Creoles are something else. A lot of them were on the coon train, but a lot of them would get paid.
Well, one of us was right.
And you know, I'm not gonna. I know I said I listened to this this morning, but remember, I played it this morning, and then I worked a really hard shift, so it's not like I remembered the shit. Because I was running around busting my ass trying to make sure people had their precious fucking Cheerios.
Although, to be
Cheerios.
Fair, if it's Tariq Nasheed and you don't know where it's going, moist coon or bedwench is a pretty fucking good guess.
Paid to turn in runaway slaves, and they had little things like the Blue Vein Society down there.
All right, so we did a little reading about this. And we should let Tariq rock first.
Okay, yeah.
Let's let him rock. So the Blue Vein Society.
Yes.
Here we go.
The Blue Vein Society, and they had these little Blue Vein Societies all over the place where if you are a black person whose skin was light enough where they can see your veins, you know, that was like a badge of honor. Some of y'all look up the Blue Vein Society. That was these Negro.
He told us to look it up.
So I looked it up. All right. So the Blue Vein Society.
Oh, no.
Actually, from what I can gather, is a fictional group that was written about in a book. Okay? The book is called The Wife of His Youth. All right, and it is about a mulatto man, light skin, who's supposed to marry a mulatto woman, but ends up with a dark-skinned black woman and the societal implications. And it was basically meant to be a book for black people about black people and talk about colorism. However, I cannot actually find an actual real-life group called the Blue Veins, the Blue Vein Society. So...
Okay, but Tariq Nasheed is not moist, and he's speaking with a tone of authority on a pretty decent quality microphone, and he's saying these words.
I was trying to be like the Blue Blood Society, the blue bloods were the upper echelon white people. So the Negroes said, okay, we're going to mimic that and we're going to be the blue vein society where you can see our veins. It's some real...
Folks, and remember, the blue bloods were in like the areas that we would now call what? Maine, mm-hmm. Connecticut, yes. New York.
New Englanders, yes.
This fictional account of the blue vein society is in the dirty, dirty South. Mm-hmm. But they were like, these inbreeds... Yes. Which is why John Kerry's face looks like that. We want to be like them. I know, right? He looks like the fucking Mactonite Moon Man from McDonald's. Like John Kerry.
Oh, man.
Yo, he got a sideways ass face, nigga. His face got a gangster lean, and you know it, nigga. Mm-hmm. That shit look like a fucking melted martini glass. Get out of my face. Blue mm-hmm. veins inside. What else? Oh, I thought you had more game, family.
No, but see, that's the thing, though, is if you look up Blue Vein Society, what always ends up coming up is the paper bag test. So, you know, obviously, if you're light-skinned, you can see the veins. I also passed the paper bag test, but the paper bag test was, like, the real-life manifestation of what the fictional account in this book was of the Blue Vein Society. But facts are stupid, so whatever.
All right, but he has more actual facts to say that have nothing to do.
What? Brady can't say the Blue Vein Society. I have to drink to keep from dying laughing.
Hello, deep shit with that stuff, man.
I like that. That was most of his commentary was hella deep shit with that stuff,
yes,
man.
Yes.
Hella deep shit. Mm-hmm. All right, let's see.
And they still carry that same mentality to this very day. That's why they talk to us like we stupid.
Who is they and who is we?
If like, they're followers of yours that repeat shit that you say...
They might be stupid.
Yeah.
This is why when we start talking about an agenda, see, these Negroes, you see them get appointed in all these little places and placed in the media and all this, and you're like, dang, why are they talking down on us getting some tangibles? Well, this is why. Because they're already getting theirs. They're already getting their tangibles. You understand?
I don't know if you knew that, but apparently the Blue Vein Society that existed and still exists and is a whole bunch of light-skinned Negroes is getting their tangibles, which is the vague term he came up with now for legislation specifically for you.
I have blue veins. I would like my fucking tangibles, please.
No, you take your fucking old Echo sweater with cat hair on it and you like it.
No. I demand a new Echo sweater as part of my tangibles.
No.
Yes. I earned them.
They're getting their tangibles already. And they get their tangibles by keeping you in the dark. And understand, with the Lynx and all those little organizations and the Boule, remember, the Lynx and the Boule, these are organizations where they had brown paper bag tests, man.
I like the way he said, he sounded like such a hippie in that moment. They had brown paper bag tests, man. Did you know that, man? I just want to hear him say that again.
Where they had brown paper bag tests, man.
Man.
Y'all know about that. They used to have brown paper.
Yes, ma'am.
So the Boule Society, that was a bunch of fraternities, right? And I've always heard that they had brown paper bag tests and color was a huge thing. But some of the people who were in these societies are not, this man's is not passing the brown paper bag test.
All right, so Phoenix Collider is, oh damn.
Oh no.
Yeah, that's not showing up well at all.
Okay.
What if I brought put the brightness down. Oh, shoot. What if I took that off? There it goes.
Yeah. That guy's not passing the brown paper bag test. And it's interesting because when he talks about the Boule Society, a lot of the, the fraternities he's talking about, Martin Luther King's fraternity. Like, I mean, he wasn't dark, but mulatto?
And he also was not down with black people.
He was not down with black people. He was very, very much about, was it getting his tangibles and leaving other black people behind? He had no concept of,
That's why you hear those newscasters where they say Martin Luther Coon and then correct themselves and say King.
That is, yeah.
Because they're like, because even they know he's a coon. See, and those white people are on code, family. Mm-hmm. They want tangibles.
Yes.
You dig?
Mm-hmm.
I like saying that because I think Michael Graham might listen.
Yeah, it's just funny to me the idea that Martin Luther King is part of the Boule and is mulatto and hates poor people.
That's why he started the Poor People's Campaign.
Man, look.
Because he wanted to get a camera on their pain so we could laugh at them.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
That's how it happened?
Yeah, it was about recording poor people in pain. Martin Luther King was going to walk up with some wingtips on, kick him in the shins, and be like, ha, 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 ha. And that's how he laughed.
That's how he laughed? Like a white villain? Oh, because he's Boule. That's right.
See?
That's
fuck right. Martin Luther Coon. Mm-hmm. Come on. This is a good Black History Month right here. Come on.
Paper bag tests in these little organizations. If you were too dark, they wouldn't let you in. The infamous.
Now, keep in mind, this is the history of colorism. So he's going to bring it up into the 19th century from here.
Mm-hmm.
This brown paper bag test. They were hell on that brown paper bag test. The links and the.
Oh, you see that you're looking at the art, the chat space.
I see Theo said, but Neely Fuller went to an all white school.
Yeah, that's where he studied. That's why he knows so much about white people.
Okay.
Because he was on code, family.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ. I actually can't make a joke for that one. Mm. I got nothing.
Boule and Jack and Jill, they were real big on that. Until really the 80s. They kind of fizzled that out in the 80s. The movie's. Oh. School Days by Spike Lee, that really put a lot of light on that. After School Days, that kind of brought that thing to the forefront.
That was a satire.
No, it wasn't.
Oh,
no, that
okay.
was all fact. And it's also where you'll just be sitting there watching a movie, and you're like, all right, they're good, they're having a little scene there. Oh, all right, Lawrence Fishburne's penis, outstanding. Let's all, mm-hmm. Lawrence Fishburne's full nude in that one.
Oh.
Yeah. They just hanging on out there. Everyone's having a good time.
Okay.
And it's like, I think maybe they only got like a R rating.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And let's see here. All right, so he's gonna break down more game, family.
Sure.
Shamed a lot of people, and then they kind of started to let the darkies in. But look at the movie School Days by Spike Lee, 1988, I think.
All right, so keep in mind, so not until the 80s. When Spike Lee's movie School Days came out, that was when dark black people got into fraternities and sororities.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
That's fact-based reality.
Right.
That's a truth-based initiative.
It's something.
You're looking up, you're trying to find your link where it's debunked, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, fuck yeah. That's all I do is he talks and he's like, can I find a link for this? Can I find a link for that?
Think very good movie. They showed how the light skin and dark skin sororities, how they would that colorism thing that was playing out. Yeah, that Eastern Star, aka Jack and Jill thing. Yeah, those AKA.
I think it was a more interesting way to just look at colorism, where it's I want to use the word subtle, but I don't. So I'll just say. Just look at all four Kid and Play movies. They work the colorism in those movies.
Mm.
Like we're fucking, House Party 1. Obviously Kid and Play, light and dark, and Kid is the one who fucking has his father, and he's getting bullied. He's not a bully.
Right.
Play is the one running out there trying to get the girls, man, and then who's the easy girl to get that everyone always gets with? The dark skin one.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the one that has the fucking parents and the nice fat crib, and like I think one of them's in the medical field. That's the light skin one, which I think she went on to. Is that Tisha Campbell's her name?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Tisha Campbell. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. So, the Kid and Play movies, and of course the fucking class act, Blade Brown and Duck and Penderhughes, and then the two love interests in that one.
Right.
Yeah, like, it's fucking, that's an interesting look at colorism. It's just the way they drew those characters.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Which is also interesting to me, too, because, Tariq talking about all this, like, well, that woman has stud energy. I don't really hear him say that about, like, light-skinned girls.
Huh, I never thought of that. You know what? I don't know who all these celebrities are either.
Yeah, I don't really.
A lot of stud energy?
Yeah, I don't see him saying that about a lot of light skinned girl, son. Just whatever.
Which that's
probably because they look like his wife.
Oh, and she can't be a stud.
A's were real big on that brown paper bag thing. I remember when I was a kid, all the AKAs were light skinned.
Now, keep in mind, we didn't cover this because we didn't see. Maybe we did. I don't know. We've done so many episodes of this damn podcast. And, yeah, I'm playing his shit, getting ready for work, and he was talking about when he was a kid, he was homeless in Los Angeles. And I think he said Northern Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, how were you hanging around colleges in the South to know that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, I mean, he's lived a lot of different lives. Nigga had a teleporter.
Lived
so.
A lot of different lives, maybe.
Oh, ma'am.
What?
All up. They were known for being light-skinned girls. All the AKAs were known for being light-skinned girls. Oh, yeah. They were free. Somebody said they had a prostitution ring in Georgia. They were some freaks, too. That's another thing.
And, I mean, they may have had sex workers, they may not have, but I know with these type of conservative niggas, that's just something they say. Like, that's their version of, like, oh, that cheerleader? Oh, yeah, she slept with the whole football team. That's their version of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just like saying that. It's like this preemptive slut-shaming just in case she'd probably turn me down if I ever got in her presence.
Right.
Yeah. Fucking conservatives.
Thing. Them AKAs were light skinned and freaky. Probably them Q dogs turned their ass out.
And see, I like how you just take a pause to think of something to add on to that.
Yeah.
And then it went from slut shaming to that's sex trafficking, actually. That's sex trafficking.
Q dogs turned them out. And also, I saved the screenshots and I never got them reposted because I was hoping the person who originally posted them would get more traction. I shared their shit to Social Dissonance. It didn't get much traction there, so I might post them myself. But it is stories that rape victims are telling with their names cropped out of rape victims of the Q Dogs fraternity.
Mm-hmm.
The Q Dogs fucking rapists just like any other fraternity.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but that whole thing, though, he's always talking about, like, I don't know why people always say I was a pimp because you say shit like this. You talk about they got turned out into a prostitution ring because they were freaky. When you get turned out into a prostitution ring, it's not because you are a freak, okay?
Shit, he was blatant on the one where the black girl went on Maury and said she hates black people. And then he was talking about her mother and how she was dating a white man and then left him.
Some hoes need pimps.
He didn't say some. He just said hoes need pimps. In general. And we're quoting him verbatim. Hoes need pimps. All right? Which I strongly prefer. Like, if you're going to call women hoes, at least be like that rap song we played that the Christian mother was reading. Hoes need abortions, all right? That's much better, all right? Fucking hoes need choice.
All choice for all the hoes.
Hey, damn. Hey, thank good Tally Loco's not tuned in. Here's another t-shirt. All right, I think we could kill it off there. Yeah, what? Theo Loco killed it well to fuck Tariq. You got some heat?
Oh, because I thought you were going to do to the Brown Fellowship part.
Oh, shit, okay. You know what? Phoenix Kalidar has declared more Tariq for everybody.
Why? What? What in the anti-populism?
In the context of a binary empress.
But the thing is, that whole mulatto buffer class black secret society thing, that's, you know, that
I don't know if you knew that, but there is a mulatto buffer class black secret society. These are all words that he said in that order. Mulatto buffer class black secret society. And this is why the first time I heard this nigga in 2015, I said, wow, I found the black Alex Jones. He's just mad at you in the comment section.
Thanks, Phoenix. It's just saying. I just had another factoid, that was all.
Off with her freckles.
Good luck with that. I have a lot of fucking freckles.
And you got more when you got pregnant.
I did, yeah.
That's interesting science. Yeah. All right, what's the game?
Oh,
Let him rock.
Yeah.
All right. Phoenix Kalidar said let him rock.
happened a lot on the islands, and it happened here too. You had some of that here too. That's how the Boule and all that got started. It goes all the way back. I traced a lot of it back to the Denmark VC Plan Rebellion. There was a group called the Brown Fellowship Society out there in South Carolina, and they were the children of the white slave owner. So these were free Negroes who didn't want to be associated with black. They could not be associated with white, so they called themselves the Brown Fellowship Society. And they were the family of the slave masters, and they were some of the people who helped thwart the Denmark VC Revolution, where they were going to kill all the white supremacists and just kind of take over. It was those Negroes.
Okay, we heard him say, you realize what he just said. He said that some black people were coons that sided with white people, and they stopped other black people from having a takeover of a place called Denmark and kill all the white supremacists. But we can't even find a Denmark in McMurrica. And I don't know if in the early 1900s there were a bunch of black people that were about to kill all the white supremacists in Scandinavia.
No. He's talking about some shit in South Carolina, but it's a person, not a place. But the way he talks about it, it sounds like a place.
Oh.
So he's goofy. Anyways, the Brown Fellowship Society, they did identify as brown. I have no evidence that they were free because they were children of white slave masters, which is weird because when you're born, you're still a slave. So I'm not sure how being mulatto saved them in that aspect. But, no, these were people who were brown, they were free, and they did identify as mulattoes because at the time, there were three distinct races in the area, white, mulatto, and black, and mulattoes had more rights than black people, but the reason that they went with mulatto is so that they could literally do activism in the black community, because at the time, white churches weren't allowing black people to be buried there, they weren't providing care, like if your husband died, you know, and you needed assistance, especially if you were free, if your kids were orphans. The white churches weren't doing that, so they literally created a thing called the Brown Fellowship Society with the motto of charity and benevolence, and it was founded to give those things to black people. And also, it was non-religious. Fun fact. They weren't even allowed to discuss religion. But the point being, that was what they did, and they went around helping poor people, helping slaves, and helping free black people. But yeah, let's pretend that they were sellouts. What is this comment? He was a freed black that tried to set up a... VC? Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't by the Brown Fellowship Society. Like, what the fuck, man?
No, but yeah, it was.
History's stupid.
Tariq Nasheed has said himself... Again, these are sentences that he has said that stick out in my head because of all the other sentences around them.
Mm-hmm.
I am a historian. And it's like... No, you're not. Mm-hmm. Like, you are a fucking carnival barker.
Right. Yeah.
More info?
Yeah. Oh, no, just that the Denmark VC, I don't know how to say his name, was deeply affiliated with the church. So it's interesting to note that the Brown Society was specifically anti-religious, while his work was specifically with black Christians. So I'm just saying. Just interesting. But yeah, so they weren't quite the coons that they're being made out to be here. Jesus.
All right, and I get, you know what? I don't know. When we put this up on YouTube, leave comments open.
Oh, yeah, fine. Leave comments open. Sure.
All right.
Yeah, I'm fine.
All right, we're going to leave comments open when we put this up on YouTube, and it might be worth a chuckle or three.
The comments will be fun. They're just doing this for clout. This is the most views they've ever had. Someone who makes absolutely no.
Yeah, it's like a their own. Dear friend, like this is the, like we just started the YouTube. We're podcasters. You don't want to see our download record.
Fun fact about Vessi. What did Tariq say? It was the Brown Society that sold his ass out.
Yeah.
No, it was actually two slaves named Joel LaRoche and George Wilson.
Nah.
Nigga, you can't.
Just... Okay, but they were Joel LaRoche and George Wilson, like that. And these were adults, right?
Yes.
And so they got to be adults and maintain as adults by eating food, right?
Yes.
And did their groceries not come in brown paper bags? Brown paper bag society. Blam.
I don't think they had brown paper bags back then. No.
Yeah? No. Wait, what were they? The what society?
The Brown Fellowship Society.
Brown Fellowship. Oh, yes. So did they not have friends that they associated with and had a good time?
Yes, they probably did.
Oh, so they were fellowshipping.
Does that mean something?
Yes.
Really? What does it mean?
It means they were fellowshipping. And were they not social? Society. Bam.
These anyways, two slaves were the first ones to narc on Vesey, VC, however you say his name. George Wilson and George LaRoche. So, yeah, it was not the Brown Fellowship Society.
Yes, it was.
It wasn't, though.
But it was. But it was. It was probably the least that I've read, because the comments were coming in swift. Yeah, I'm going to look at them, though. This is dope stuff. What? Why is Britain telling me to stop? Why?
These are fucking ridiculous.
And also, we hit our hour.
Oh,
we're
shit.
Good. Yeah, we're good all at this right. timing. Like, it is in us. All okay. right. And I'm going to eat a food.
Yes.
Rest a bit.
Yes.
And get up and go. I'm not certified to use the boom lift at work. Mm. So I need to get certified on that, but I am going to use the Skyjack tomorrow and get funky in the factory, and then I'm going to get really dirty, and then Phoenix Cleaner's going to see me and say, why the fuck are you so dirty? I'm going to be like, I don't know. And then she's going to throw some crackers at me.
Why would I throw crackers at you?
With cheese.
Why would I throw cheese at you? That's a waste of cheese.
Because you're racist. And you're into wrestling, so you're going to be picking up crackers and throwing them at me, you racist wrestler. Go say that on the Twitter. Phoenix Kalita is a racist wrestler that throws crackers at people. Cracker thrower.
You're just jealous that I am part of the super secret, totally well-funded Blue Vein Society that exists throughout America, and you aren't allowed in, and that's the whole thing.
What was it? Mulatto Buffer Class Secret Society?
Yeah, I fucking am. So I am, actually. You're just jealous that you don't have blue veins.
Like, I'm telling you, like, you really, I wish that I was doing this when Imani Gandhi and Elon James White were really working the term Bernie Bro on their podcast, because people could see them on the Twitter, and they're goofy on the Twitter, and they got shit you could screenshot and talk about. Mm-hmm. But, like, when you hear the audio, you can really feel the disingenuous huckster asshole that the person is. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think opportunity was definitely missed in 2015.
Yeah. Well, she's still podcasting, right?
I don't, maybe she's doing some shit with Aaron Rand Freeman, maybe.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm sure they'll be doing stuff during the election if she's still podcasting. Because she will not be able to help herself.
Yeah, or now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go ahead and kill it off, man. WineCellarMedia.com, folks. PayPal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam is where the tip jar is. And Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund is where you can sign up and make it like a tax. And right now, we do have a whole fully produced episode from Monday that is up there, and it's Patreon only now. Mm. Saturday morning, it will be available, and I'm slowly releasing clips from it throughout the week, so then Saturday morning, the whole thing is there. Mm-hmm. And I just hope folks would, you know, check out the fully produced episode. I really do sit down and spend a couple hours working on it, making it real crispy. Mm-hmm. And I hope it's a really dope audio experience. Like, throw it in your headphones and bang to the wine cellar.
Yes.
Right on, righto. Please be as safe as possible wherever you are. Bang, YouTube stopped. Podcast audio. Get the fuck out of here.